Today we'll be reading from the New Testament book of Acts, and I invite us to prepare our hearts and minds to receive God's word as we share this prayer for illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in your consolation. Keep in us the memory of all that Jesus said and did. Inspire our meditation and let our thoughts be pleasing to you, O God, for we rejoice in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The story of Pentecost is found in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to share the first 42 verses. So I invite you to listen, hear the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and address them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, when he said, 'In the last days it will be, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourself know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with him an oath that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments, and he exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Friends, this is the word of God, and it abides forever. Thanks be to God. We start out way back in Genesis when the people of God had begun to become so resourceful that they decided they would build a tower to the heavens so that they could reach up to God. We know that tower as Babel. Human industry led humanity to focus on building that tower to God, and yet they lost sight of God, focusing on their own ingenuity and less on the sovereign God who made us all. But God halted that tower project by confounding God's people's ability to communicate. Babel, where they were, became the name of that incomplete tower. The imposing of different languages led to separation and division of God's people and the development of different nations. Well, on Pentecost, we witness a grand reversal of division and separation, as all of the known nations and dialects were present in Jerusalem when a new wind blew through their gathering and a new spirit showed up with fiery tongues, bringing a miracle of communication, a unifying ability to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in his or her own native language. God's people were together. They were united in ways they had not been since their tower building days back in Babel. The Holy Spirit made communication complete. Hearing and understanding came together, and lives were forever changed. Many were baptized and added by God to the number, the newly born church. And this was the beginning of the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder, when you think about church, what image is the dominant one that rises up? Is it a picture that energizes you and excites you? Is it a picture of your friends in the fellowship of your church that come to mind? Or is it a facility, a building that comes to mind? Is it an image that encourages you, or is it one that simply makes you want to snooze? Is it something that is characterized by enthusiasm and adventure, or by boredom and predictability? If we're talking about the first century church, those questions are easy to answer, because the first century Christians became so excited about their message that onlookers accused them of being drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning. They were having such a good time in the Spirit, folks around them couldn't explain it otherwise. Those first Christians became so energetic about their mission that they were labeled as troublemakers, and many of them were thrown into prison and ultimately killed. And despite their small numbers and limited resources, they were so filled with the Spirit that together they began to turn their world upside down. Wherever the church was, something significant was happening. You could pin a lot of labels on them, but you would never call them dull or predictable or lifeless. Looking at the early church, it's not surprising that one of the primary symbols for the church was fire. The first century Christians were on fire with the Spirit. And wherever they went, wondrous things happened for them with God. But I sometimes think that the fire of the early church is only flickering in our time in history. To a large extent, it seems we've domesticated God within the church. We have tamed it down. We have painted it a dull gray and allowed it to blend in rather easily with the prevailing culture around us. In too many minds, the dominant image of the church today is that of an irrelevant, aging institution that is settled comfortably on a street corner somewhere in Sleepy Hollow. To whatever extent that image is accurate, to that extent the church has ceased to be authentic and to be the church alive in the Spirit which God created us to be. Throughout history, the church has tended to wander away from our Lord, to get off track, and to begin to doze. So periodically, God reaches down into history and takes the church and shakes it up once more. God wakes it up. God breathes new life into it and says, I'm about to do a new thing. And God gets us back on track. Doesn't it feel that way during this COVID-19 time in the life of the church and world that we live in, that God has given us all a good shaking and called us to a new awakening? I hope, I trust that this is beginning to happen in our time. I hope God is beginning to stir the smoldering ashes of the church so that the flames of renewal will dance and leap and come alive once more. I believe that God is beginning to make the church anew as we are reaching out in new ways to continue mission and ministry even now. Things are not routine. Things are not just business as usual, not tame or dull or lifeless, but new. Henry Pitney Van Dusen, a pastor and professor and former president of the Union Seminary in New York, wrote a book entitled Spirit, Son, and Father, in which he says that the Holy Spirit is the most negotiable and discernible person of the Trinity. Van Dusen says, you can walk into a church in which the Holy Spirit is present and you can sense the power. He says, in the power of the Spirit, you feel loved, you feel cared for, you feel accepted. The Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead who communicates God's presence and produces within us a strong sense of love and life and hope. Can you feel the Spirit's presence today? Even in the privacy of your home, do you feel the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit stirring within you? The Apostle Paul would talk about spiritual gifts that we've been given during this time to share for ministry and mission. He later called them the fruits of the Spirit in his letter to the Galatians, and they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When these are present in our lives and in our church, there's a vibrancy and a dynamic power that is life-giving and transformational. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, God gave us this gift of church, ecclesia, a people who are called apart, a gathering of believers who are filled with the very power of God. Through the Holy Spirit and equipped to share the gospel and share God's love, both within the household of God and in the highways and byways, both with our brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church and with total strangers. To love one another can be one of the hardest tasks of all. When we who are called of Christ and empowered by God's Spirit can do that and do that well, the world will beat down our doors to want to share in Christ's work with us. People today are hungry for love and for connection, for relationships that are real, authentic, and meaningful. They want to be part of ministries and missions that make a difference in the world around them, that make a difference in their lives and the lives of people in their communities. The church, in the Spirit, born on Pentecost, released God's power, enabling us to embrace not only those in need outside our doors, but also to embrace one another and to help each other to become all that God intends us to be. Karl Barth, reformer and theologian, said that a Christian without the Spirit of God is like a flat tire Christian. For the Spirit is the life-giving breath and wind that fills and empowers us and as followers of Christ. Perhaps you feel at times like your life is like a car trying to negotiate twists and turns in life on four flat tires. Every move you make seems difficult because you're trying in your own power to do God's work. That's what it's like when we don't say, God, fill us and use us. Friends, God has blown the fresh winds of the Spirit upon us to fill us and empower us for following Christ, for serving with Christ, for being the church in the world today, and for sharing the good news of the gospel. Let us ask God to rekindle the flames of the Spirit here at Celebration Presbyterian Church, filling us with God's power that we need in order to love and care for one another, as well as reaching out to the vast number of folks in our community that don't even know the story of God's transforming and life-giving power. When the disciples were filled with the Spirit on Pentecost, they became witnesses to all the world. God's amazing love was taken out and shared throughout the nations, so that all might come to know Jesus Christ. The filling of the Spirit led the disciples to take risks, to risk their very lives for the sake of the gospel. They risked their own safety and security to demonstrate God's love for the nations and to offer hope to those who were perishing, who were unaware of God's grace. To me, Pentecost, with its elements of wind and the tongues of fire, it demonstrates the Holy Spirit bringing the full energy of God's love to energize us, to empower the church with love, and to light a fire beneath us so we do not sit idly by, but so we go out enlivened by God's Holy Spirit and bear witness to God's love to all people everywhere. Do you feel the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you sense it within and around you? Are you willing to take some risk in your life in the power of the Spirit to bear witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ? Friends, we are alive, born in the Spirit. Feel God's wind. Feel God's fire. Share the life and share God's love. Please bow with me now for prayer. O God of variety, we give thanks for your many and varied gifts to the church, for gifts of wise speech, putting deep knowledge into words, for gifts of faith and healing of mind and body, for the gifts of prophecy and discernment and truth and falsehood, for ecstatic speech and music and the ability to interpret it. We rejoice in the unity that is possible when these gifts are received willingly and coordinated by the Spirit as the activity of the one body of Christ. We celebrate that unity of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one mission, one ministry, all empowered by your Holy Spirit and shared to your glory, O God. And again I say, how good of you, O God. Alleluia. Amen.